Hello and welcome to the On Record podcast. I'm your host, Ujwala.
Pegasus is one of the most powerful bits of spyware ever made. It's easily installed, almost impossible to detect, and even harder to get rid of.
With just a single text, it can bypass your phone's security and install spyware that grants complete access to your device.
Once they're in, the attacker can remotely control virtually any part of the phone. They can read messages, look at photos and videos, access contacts and calendar data, and track its location using GPS.
They can get your location, they can get all your emails, they can get all of your social media, they can get all your pictures, they can get all of your video. They can turn on your microphone, they can turn on your camera.
The phone won't show any sign of being infected besides the faintest traces of abnormal software processes.
Pegasus, one of the most sophisticated spywares known to the world so far. It can enter a phone and access all the files on the device, leaving no trace of an attack to the user.
Pegasus is a very sophisticated spyware that can be installed on a target's phone on what is called zero-click attack.
Karthik Bappanad, his head of department of Center for Excellence in Cybersecurity, Karnataka government.
What this means is the target does not have to click on any link or download any attachment or app to become a victim. Typically, other kinds of attacks like phishing would need the criminal to convince you to take some action, right? Either download an attachment that can contain a virus or visit a website that can inject your system with a virus. What makes Pegasus so sophisticated is that it can be used to inject the spyware on your device without you needing to take any action.
Pegasus spyware is developed by the Israeli firm called NSO Group, which sells its products only to vetted governments across the world. Now, the company says its products help the governments to counter crime and terrorism and save thousands of lives around the globe. But an investigation carried out by a consortium of 17 media organizations spread across the world reveals a widespread misuse of the spyware to hack the phones and surveil tens of thousands of people.
This list of phone numbers that were targeted, and you are among them.
And what does that program do?
It's transmitting your messages, your images, this, everything that's happened on your phone.
A data leak of over 50,000 phone numbers was accessed by the French media organization Forbidden Stories and Amnesty International. The numbers on the list belong to prominent people, including politicians, Supreme Court justices, human rights activists, lawyers, and journalists across the globe. The leaked list includes the phone numbers of sitting presidents of France, Iraq, and South Africa, and the current prime ministers of Pakistan, Egypt, and Morocco. At least 300 Indian cell phone numbers are on this list, and the names of 161 people using these phone numbers have been revealed by The Wire, who is the Indian partner in the consortium.
Potential targets of alleged snooping between 2017 to 2019 were Congress MP Rahul Gandhi, political strategist Prashant Kishore, TMC General Secretary and Mamta's nephew Abhishek Banerjee.
According to the reports, as many as 300 Indians may have been targeted. The potential targets, according to the report, also include two serving union ministers, Prahlad Patel and Ashwini Vaishnav, and former election commissioner Ashok Lavasa, as well as the woman who had accused former Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi of sexual harassment.
Of the 161 people identified on this list, forensic analysis conducted on 10 devices using these phone numbers showed signs of either an attempted Pegasus attack or a successful compromise of the device. Phones of political strategist Prashant Kishore, of journalists including Siddharth Vardarajan, M.K. Venu of The Wire, Sushant Singh, a former Indian Express journalist, Pranjoy Thakurta, former editor of Economic and Political Weekly, SNM Abdi, a former Outlook journalist's devices, showed successful Pegasus attack during the forensic analysis.
Clearly, the recent revelations sort of demonstrate that the use of very, very intrusive software is being deployed on journalists, opposition leaders and activists.
Gurshabad Grover is a senior researcher at the Center for Internet and Society.
Some of these people are fighting for social justice and human rights. There are others that are legitimate political opposition, and we have to understand that surveilling them undermines them, makes them powerless, whereas we need them most in a democracy.
The other phone numbers on the list includes Gagandeep Kang, who is a virologist, G. Parmeshwara, who is the deputy CM of JDS Congress coalition government in Karnataka, Alok Verma, the former CBI chief, Anil Ambani, the chairman of Reliance Group, Hari Menon, the Indian head of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and over 40 activists, including Rona Wilson, Anand Teltumde, Gautam Navlaka, Arun Ferreira, Sudha Bharatwaj, all of whom are arrested in the Bhima Koregaon case. However, devices of many people on the list are yet to be forensically examined, and only after the analysis an attack can be confirmed. But the presence of their numbers on the list indicate that they are a potential target. Ever since the story broke last month, media and political opponents have asked the government of India if it has purchased the spyware from the NSO group. So far, there has not been a straightforward answer.
A highly sensational story was published by a web portal yesterday night. Many over-the-top allegations have been made around this story. Honorable Speaker, sir, the press reports have appeared a day before the monsoon session of the parliament. This cannot be a coincidence, Honorable Speaker, sir.
IT Minister Ashwini Vaishnav's response in the parliament to the reports on Pegasus.
The press reports of 18 July 2021 also appear to be an attempt to malign the Indian democracy and its well-established institutions. Honorable Speaker, sir, let us look at India's established protocols when it comes to surveillance. I'm sure my colleagues in the opposition who have been in government for years are very well aware of these protocols. Since they have governed the country, they would also be aware that any form of illegal surveillance is not possible with the checks and balances in our laws and robust institutions.
In a written reply to the parliament last week, the Defence Ministry said it has made no transactions with the NSO group. This was followed by the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology denying purchase of any such software for surveillance. But there has been no clear answer from the Prime Minister's office or the Home Ministry, both of which play a major role in controlling the intelligence agencies of the country. Opposition parties had demanded for a discussion on the Pegasus issue in the parliament ever since the story broke out, but the government refused to discuss this issue and has downplayed the revelations made by the media consortium.
ये non issue बना के दुर्भाग्यपूर्ण से 7-8 दिन से संसद नहीं चल रहा है. बहुत other important issues are there. There are so many other important people related issues.
Parliamentary Affairs Minister Prahlad Joshi's statement in the Lok Sabha.
And IT Minister has given detailed statement. This is a totally non-issue, non-serious issue also. Kindly allow the House to function.
Amidst the government rubbishing the reports and the opposition's accusations on the government, what remains a grave concern is an individual's privacy in a democratic country.
It's the entering of a foreign object into our most intimate sphere of life. We're relying on our phones to store our most intimate memories, our most sensitive conversations. So, in terms of the digital sphere, it's perhaps the most intrusive to privacy.
Section 69 of the IT Act allows the government to surveil its citizens in the interest of sovereignty and integrity of the country for a fixed period of time. But there is no legal procedure to authorize hacking of any phones for any purpose whatsoever.
India is one of those countries that hasn't made an exception for the government for hacking. So in fact, one could very well argue that any form of hacking deployed by the state is illegal and unlawful. If I am the government and wanted to access something on your phone, there are multiple ways for me to do that. Let's say you have an Android phone and everything you're storing is on Google Drive. Everything is getting backed up there. Your photos are on Google Photos, etc. So one way for me to effectively surveil you is to go to Google and ask for your information from them, whatever they have, right? Through this method, I only get the information that is stored with Google. So similarly, another way to surveil you would be to ask your internet service provider about what websites you've been visiting. So there are multiple avenues of like digital forms of surveillance, and they usually involve asking a network operator or some software that you use and they store data on you to ask information about you. But in terms, what hacking does is, of course, go directly to the source and compromise the device itself. So I can see everything on the device. Yeah. There is no exception in the law for the government to be hacking devices under the hacking law itself. So there is an argument to be made that the use of the Pegasus spyware by the Indian government was illegal.
While we can practice digital hygiene to safeguard ourselves from cyber crimes, in case of Pegasus, there is little a common man can do.
It is actually called a cyber weapon, right? So it is not just another malware or a virus. Mm. It's actually a cyber weapon, and hence, you know, Israeli government also insists that NSO gets the government's approval before selling this tool to anyone.
If the revelations of the consortium are true, it shows how vulnerable we are to losing our data and privacy in the new digital world. The phrase, "Big Brother is watching you," becomes more true than ever before. Thank you for listening to the On Record podcast. Our next episode will be out in a week. You can connect with us on Twitter @OnRecordPodcasts. We'll be back soon.